Oh, wow. You know, it just goes to show you. TV isn't as easy as it looks, right? Executives are reportedly having some kind of meltdown there, panic mode, because ratings aren't quite what they had anticipated or thought they would have been. I'm going to tell them to ease up, not worry so much. You know, this is a long game, right? But the reality that they need to face, that perhaps they just don't understand in this moment in time, is that that particular medium is dying. It's dying fast. So no matter what Fox tries right now, it's kind of game over. Bob Iger realizes that. That's why he's getting rid of ABC. We're going to talk about it. Hello, welcome to the program, everyone. It's so good to have you here, as always. I hope you subscribed. Welcome. Portions of the show are always brought to you by LegacyPMInvestments.com. Go check them out, LegacyPMInvestments.com, or you can call them 1-866-589-0560. If you're interested in investing in gold or silver, that is the place to go. All right, so Fox News ratings are out. You know, they unveiled their big new lineup, the big primetime lineup that was somehow going to fix all their trouble. So they're trying to be politically correct enough, right? Not get themselves in trouble. Hopefully not really alienate anyone. Good luck, right, in this current world in which we live, while simultaneously still being able to deliver on the viewership, except that, you know, again, this is easier said than done. And even though they put somebody in the slot that they thought would kind of appease the base that used to watch Fox, most of whom don't anymore, well, it didn't quite work because the numbers reflect, well, quite a significant downturn. We're talking 800,000 viewers less at 8 p.m. on Fox News than they used to get with the former guy, Tucker Carlson, in the seat. So Jesse Waters took over again. Like, you would think Jesse Waters, he's going to appeal to a lot of the people that like Fox. But, you know, it's not that easy. I'm just going to say that again. Jesse's great. I like Jesse a lot. He's a wonderful guy. But he doesn't quite have the same sort of edge, shall we say, or the same kind of, dare I say, academic approach, because it wasn't really academic with Tucker, but he had kind of a contrarian sort of interesting view on things that you're not going to get everywhere. Right? You're not going to, but Jesse, who, by the way, used to do a great job on Bill O'Reilly when he did those like man on the street things and he'd ask people questions, and that was like him at his best. But as an anchor, it's an entirely different sort of role. And I think it's a more challenging role for him. Certainly at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock is the big, you know, that's a big kahuna, right? Like, you got to really be able to deliver there. And so what they have found is something that they probably didn't anticipate. For example, the demos were not so hot. We're talking 161,000 viewers in that key 25 to 54-year-old demo. Apparently, Tucker had something like 400, not quite 400. Well, actually, according to this data, usually more than 400,000. So the demo that people talk about, even if you're getting millions of viewers, is pretty darn critical because the demo's sort of everything, right? Because advertisers, they base what they sell off of the demo. And so you want young people, of course, watching your network because you want to keep growing. And so thus, the demo's pretty darn important. But these demo numbers are not good. In fact, he actually went down a little bit from Laura Ingraham, who was moved to 7 o'clock. Which I think is, you know what, it's good for Laura. It's better for her life. It might be seen as a little bit of a demotion, but the truth is 7 o'clock is a more reasonable time, don't you think, to be on television? And so I know a lot of people were actually pleased with that only because they like her and want to be able to watch her at an earlier hour than 10 o'clock. So the new lineup, of course, was Laura at 7 and the other guy at 8, Jesse, and then followed by Hannity, and then Greg Gutfeld. Now, Greg actually he's a unique character, and he's got a little bit of sarcasm that plays well for a lot of people, and I think he actually may have had the best night of all. Hannity got only 150,000 demo viewers, which is apparently like 50,000 less than Rachel Maddow. So they're going to play it off like, this is great, this is great. You know, we still won the night, but look, I've worked there. I know how this goes. This is what you call a little bit of panic time. I mean, I would just say, hey, everybody take it easy because it's July. end of July, you're going into August. And so you got to be able to kind of find your groove and hit the ground running eventually. Like it's not going to all happen, right, in one night. But I would also say this same particular management team, I think, had quite a failure before. Remember when they tried to put, what was that show, The Five on at 9 o'clock? I heard that was Murdoch's idea. The Five is a great show. It's a fun show. It's wonderful at 5 o'clock. You don't want to watch it at 9 o'clock. And so you might be asking a similar question here at 8 o'clock. In other words, Jesse's on The Five at 5 o'clock. Like maybe that works a little bit better. Maybe you need a little bit. Maybe he's not like the leading anchor guy, right? Or it doesn't have quite the edge to his story ideas and takes that you need at 8 o'clock. I mean, very, very talented, hugely talented. But sometimes you kind of need to know where to play people. Like, I'll give you an example. Do not ever put me on in the morning, right? Ever, ever. You know, I may seem bright and cheery and all that, but you never want me as a morning show host. I am way too serious, like way too serious. I would have a hard time with the cooking segments. I would just, I wouldn't know what to do when they, you know, want to go out and jump on a trampoline. Like it wouldn't be me, right? Like, so it would be completely wrong. But I've had a lot of producers say, oh, you know what, Trish, you'd be great on the morning show. No. Like I'm too dense and intellectual and too wonky and interested in policy to ever be able to pull off a morning show. I mean, I can't act that well, certainly not well enough for that. So again, like it's knowing your team and knowing how to use them appropriately. I wouldn't quibble with the Laura thing. I actually think that 7 o'clock is quite great. And even Greg at 10 o'clock, it's nice to be able to get your comedy a little bit earlier, right? Like, you know, because everybody wants to go to bed at some point. But the 8 and the 9, they're going to have a big hole there. You need more. You need a richness. You need an angle. You need intellect. I mean, you really do. And I'm afraid that is going to prove to be increasingly more challenging for them. But look, you know, none of it matters anyway, because let's face it, network TV is over, done, kaput. It is. Trust me on this. No one in their right mind would ever want to go work for a network right now. They better be paying those guys really, really well, because you think of what they could do on their own, right? I mean, it's over. Legacy media is not trusted by the public. And having worked in it my whole career, I'll tell you this, it's no fun, because you're dealing with internal politics. You're dealing with White House politics. I mean, you know, when your news director gets a call from the White House saying, hey, why are they talking about this, that, or the other? That's no fun. So then you're also trying to manage the investors, right? The ESG guys that have bought up, what, 5% of Class B share Fox shares, and they may have nearly 5% of A shares as well. This is the stock. Well, then you're having to answer to a whole lot of people, and that can run you into trouble. It certainly is a talent, because you don't have the flexibility to be who you are. And well, I kind of just say what I think, even when it gets me in trouble, and I don't have any problem doing it. So I'd much rather be with all of you, direct to you. And I think that more and more and more in this new environment, you're going to see that. That is the future. Right here, right now, is the future. Live show. I'm looking at some of your comments right now. You're making the point that so many people have left. You're right. You know, Riley's gone. Megan's gone. Lou Dobbs is gone. I'm gone. I mean, hey, even Geraldo's gone, right? So it's not even necessarily partisan, but the place has kind of fallen apart at the seams. And what they're going to have to figure out how to do as a business is run it really, really tight. You've got to squeeze those margins. You can't spend a lot on talent anymore, because the business is dying. This is why Bob Iger, who's the CEO of Disney, wants to get out of ABC, even ESPN, because there's no future in that. The future is all online. I mean, going through the cable companies and looking for a little handout. Can we get a few bucks if you carry our channel? And the cable company says, oh, yes, we'll carry your channel. But guess what? You're not allowed to stream that channel anywhere else because we have exclusivity, which, by the way, they deserve if they're paying you for it. Well, what kind of model is that going forward, especially when there's so many cord cutters? I never use my cable anymore. It's kind of funny. I mean, I use it up here in the studio sometimes just to see what's going on the news front. But do I ever watch cable TV? Maybe for some athletic things, you know, but I'm not really into sports, so that doesn't quite count. Anyway, Bob Iger gets it, and he's got a mess on his hands at Disney, just like they've got a mess on their hands at Fox. Here's Iger speaking with my former colleague, by the way, at CNBC, David Faber, out at Sun Valley, saying he's getting rid of those things that just aren't the future. Watch.
Transformative work is dealing with businesses that are no-growth businesses and what to do about them, and particularly the linear business, which we are expansive in our thinking about, and we're going to look expansively about opportunities there because clearly it's a business that is going to continue to struggle.
Well, let's stop there for a second then and let me ask you about it. We're talking, I guess, ABC, the network, the stations, but then the cable networks as well.
Yes, correct.
FX, Nat Geo. Is it possible you would look to sell them?
We're going to be expansive. I think if you can interpret what that word means.
All right, I'm just going to interpret it for you. Expansive in this particular case means, yeah, we're going to look to sell them. We're going to look to sell them because you know what? That is not the future. So for Fox right now, I mean, I would say I don't think they have an especially talented management team in place. I think this is a management team that kind of doesn't quite know what to do. I think a strong management team would never have been in the situation that they were in regarding Dominion to begin with. I mean, you're talking about nearly $1 billion that company had to pay because the place was not being quote unquote managed. At some point, you know, as a network, you know, I say one of the things I don't like about networks, right, is that they're all kind of top down. Let me go back a few years because when I started at Fox, it actually was quite liberating because you really were in charge of your show in a way that I hadn't seen in places, other shops like NBC or Bloomberg or any other places. So I was really impressed with that. But once the old regime left, and Roger Ailes was kicked to the curb, you had his former assistant taking over. And, you know, look, I mean, again, it's playing people to their strengths. I'm a big believer in, you know, not everybody can be the quarterback. Some people are really good at some things. Some people are really good at 8 o'clock at night and others are really good at 8 o'clock in the morning. So you just have to know the talent you've got. And that includes within the executive suite. So they don't have decision makers there that are really leading. And I think that that eventually is what probably cost them so much in terms of Dominion, because it's just not being well run. And this is nothing against her. She's a lovely, lovely, lovely person, really and truly. But it's not easy. I mean, like, I wouldn't wish that job on my worst enemy. Can you imagine all these giant personalities under one roof? How do you really control that? I mean, it's hard and, you know, you can't. And now everybody's got an option because they can come right here and be all the personality they want to be and not have to deal with the infrastructure of all that management. So I think in the old days, it was actually well run in that people didn't go too far off the reservation, so to speak. I probably shouldn't say that. That's very anti-PC, but you know what I'm saying. Like, you could, you know, kind of stay in a certain lane, and that has since changed. But it doesn't necessarily matter, because what are the options? Like, Murdoch could say, okay, well, we're going to bring in some hotshot whoever to run this who hasn't worked here before. And immediately you're going to have the whole organization say, well, no way, because we want someone at least who has a history at the company. Who else is there? I mean, I can't tell you. I don't think that they have anybody talented enough to step into those shoes. But logically speaking, if I'm a shareholder, all I want is the cash out of the company, right? So I don't want to pay someone a ton of money to come in and fix it all. If anything, maybe I look to do what Bob Iger's doing. Bob Iger's going to sell his news divisions, and he's going to sell them not to like a hot tech company. They're going to the private equity companies that are going to bleed them for every single last dollar. In other words, they are going to make them operationally extremely efficient. And that's what you're looking at. I mean, hey, you don't have to have a growing business or a huge business or even be number one in the ratings to succeed. You can still make money. And maybe that's the reality that they need to bring themselves to. Maybe they're there already. But I can tell you, I do think, Craig, I saw that. You guys are trying to test me on whether or not this is live. It is live. Haha. Anyway, I do think that the challenge going forward is going to be, how do you continue to grow that audience share while simultaneously walking this little tightrope, right? Because everybody's watching you and the media is going to say, well, oh my gosh, he said this or she said that. And if you're panicked about that and you don't have the strength and the ability to kind of stick up for yourselves and stick up for your people, then it's game over. I mean, they're just a shell of what they once were. And I don't really care. As Rhett Butler said, I don't really give a damn, do I? Anyway, just it's fascinating to see all these changes in the media industry. A quick shout out to our friends over at Legacy Precious Metals before I get to my next story, which would be Donald Trump and the craziness there. Anyway, Legacy Precious Metals, you know, that is a wonderful organization that I am happy to partner with. They were actually the first sponsor on this show. Charles was just on the show yesterday saying some really interesting things about commercial real estate and his concerns about what that would mean for balance sheets as we go into the rest of the year. He does believe the interest rates are going to go up. I would agree with him on that. And that's going to have an effect on what all these banks are holding. So even if it feels like, okay, they're telling you, the Biden administration's like, okay, inflation's getting better, it's not really. We're still up 16% from where we were before this administration took over. And you're still dealing with the reality of higher interest rates in the future, which are going to be really problematic. So with all that said, if you're nervous about it and you're thinking of investing in gold or silver, go over to legacypminvestments.com. You are welcome to use my name if you call them. And like I said, they're good friends and they will take very good care of you. 1-866-589-0560. So it is a crazy time indeed. Donald Trump, again, like I can't even keep up with it, this time getting indicted yet again, because, well, that just seems to be the move du jour. Go after Trump any which way you can. They so badly either want him out of this race, or I have another theory here. Are they actually trying to make sure that he wins the nomination? Because every single time this happens, what do you see? The polls show up with him getting a big, big spike, because naturally, I get it. Like, Americans don't like this. Why? We don't like the idea of a so-called witch hunt going on. And considering that they've done this once, twice, three times before, well, we're getting kind of tired of it. We're getting kind of sick of it. And so you see, of course, people rally around him. And there are some that believe that this is very deliberate. The Democrats do want him to win because they think that when push comes to shove, I mean, they know they get a lousy candidate by way of Joe Biden, who, by the way, just announced that his campaign headquarters are going to be at his home in Delaware. Because, of course, you know, that way he doesn't ever have to leave home. He can stay in that basement to his heart's content. It'll be a wonderful campaign. Joe Biden is a terrible candidate, and they know that. So they want this to be a vote against Trump as opposed to a vote for Biden. Like, nobody's going to vote for Biden, because why would you? Like, policy is a mess. He's a mess. I mean, he can barely talk, and his son's a mess. I mean, I can go on and on and on. We know that he has not been what you would consider a good president. In fact, if you look at all the poll numbers, the majority of Democrats do not want him to run. So what are you going to do? I mean, if DeSantis runs against him, and you know I'm not like a big DeSantis fan necessarily, but if DeSantis runs against him, well, then that's some real competition. If anyone runs against him, by the way, Trump is some real competition as well. You know, they should not, they absolutely should not dismiss him. But I think they're suspecting, oh, well, if we just go after him enough legally over and over and over and over again, well, then people will get exhausted, right? There's that sort of exhaustion effect that happens when they can only take so much incoming on the news front. So we'll see how this all shakes out. I mean, it's just kind of outrageous, and it makes me feel like we really are in that banana republic we talk about. But anyway, I just thought I would share that interesting little ratings news for you. Like I said, it's neither here nor there, and he's going to be there for a while, so we'll see whether or not he can recover. But even if he can, I think the reality is just this. The reality is cable's done. Streaming is the future. Content matters. Individuals matter. And that's why, cheers to you. Good to have you here. And yes, it's live, guys. It's live. Make sure that you go and follow the podcast as well, if you would, for me on Apple Podcasts. I'm drinking from my Live Free or Die cup, my favorite saying. courtesy of the state of New Hampshire. Anyway, go and follow the podcast on Apple and give it 5 stars while you're there if you can. Nice review always helps and certainly helps the algorithms. And do what you can to share this and spread the word. We're up over 80,000, like in 90 days. So thank you to you. Cheers to you. And I will see you tomorrow.